episode 145. Gee, not much has happened in the past week. Whatever are we going to talk about?
Boring, boring, boring. Nothing going on whatsoever.
Hey, I want to say hi. By the way, this is Gracefully and Frankly. I'm Erin Davis.
I'm Lisa Brandt. You want to say hi?
Yes, to folks who are listening for the first time after hearing me with Hugo on Chin last weekend. And Lisa, I need you to lay out how you explained that we have some Chin listeners with us.
I said we've had a chin bump and just sort of left it there, I guess. What did you think I was saying?
I thought that Lisa had fallen off something again. Like, what were you putting up your fall decorations? Were you cleaning out the eaves troughs? Like, what? But no, you're talking about more listeners because of chin. So if you're joining us and you found Gracefully and Frankly, you know that I did not lose my bet with Lisa. So that's very good.
For sure. You wouldn't want to buy us five coffees.
No, I would, and I probably have over the years, but we'll tell you who did this week coming up in just a little bit. Boy, what a week. I'm just on such a high today after watching Kimmel night before last, and it really raised my spirits because I was having a lousy week. And, you know, sometimes the only thing you can do to bring yourself out of the dumps, well, there are a lot of ways, but I went and bought a half a rainbow cake, and you know that I love rainbow cake.
Yes. So is this for your birthday tomorrow?
No.
Oh.
This was last weekend. This was a no occasion rainbow cake.
Oh, that's even better.
It is. And if anyone isn't familiar with this, it's very brightly colored layers, multiple layers of red and blue and purple and yellow and orange. And they're all separated by white icing. And it's one of my favorite things. Well, I walked to the store up the main street in Sydney and went to a couple. I had to find my rainbow connection.
Right.
And I find this half cake, which is great because a whole cake, you got to eat a whole cake, right? So I get this half cake home and I cut it and it starts to kind of slide apart. And that's okay. I can save it. And so we each had a quarter of that half. And then the next nice. Day, I take it out of the fridge and every layer just slides off in slow-mo into the sink.
Oh,
and I thought, isn't that an analogy for my life right now?
Oh, no. Come on.
That's what I felt like. But you know what I did? What do you think I did?
You probably scooped it up and ate at least the stuff that wasn't touching the sink.
I ate the stuff that was in the sink, Lisa.
There you go.
All of it.
It's only your stuff anyway, so.
Exactly. I wasn't going to waste even a mouthful of rainbow cake. But a funny side story, and your husband, Derek, Lisa's husband is a really great handyman. He can make anything. He can take what somebody calls junk and turn it into a piece of art lamp. But I'm cleaning up the counter because it's got colorful sprinkles all over it. And I find a red one and a yellow one and I put them in my mouth. No, they were bits of wire. Rob had been fixing a vacuum and left these little tiny sprinkle-sized pieces of wire on the counter. I did not eat those.
Good.
But they were in my mouth. I almost gave myself braces.
Yum.
So you had some adventures in the kitchen, too, and I'm just dying to hear about this. It must be a fall thing when you start thinking about baking.
My brother sends me these TikTok videos or whatever when somebody does something that's low carb, because he knows that, you know, like you, I like to eat low carb. And there were a couple that were supposedly bread recipes with no flour, no nothing. So one of them, it's only tuna, egg, and baking powder.
Oh, tuna. Okay.
I know.
Okay.
A can of tuna. So you throw it in the blender and make it all creamy. And then you're supposed to put it in a little bowl in the air fryer for 25 minutes. So I did that. I got a little ramekin and put it in. And after 25 minutes, it looked like a little loaf of bread, but the whole inside was raw.
Ew.
Yeah, it was gross. So I fried that up and threw it in a salad, and it was really kind of gross. But anyway, at least I ate it. I couldn't bear to waste it. So the other one, though, is peanut butter, two eggs, and baking powder. And Erin, I'm telling you, with a little keto or regular maple syrup on it, I made this fluffy pancake out of it. It was so good.
Oh.
It tasted like a regular pancake, but with a peanut buttery taste to it. It was so good.
Wow.
That's one that I'm going to keep.
And promise me you'll post it on our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page.
Absolutely, I will. I watch this guy who finds all these videos and then tries them out so you don't have to. And then I go and try them out anyway. So that's just the way it goes.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I might make that this weekend. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Of course, being semi-retired, you can make pancakes or do weekend breakfasts whenever you want. Yeah. Well, that's neat.
It's true.
Also being rewired, at least in my case, I know you're doing the early morning news runs on a couple of my FM stations. I got to stay up and watch Jimmy Kimmel in real time on Tuesday night. Lisa, it was, I haven't been this excited to see Jimmy Kimmel since the last time he hosted the Oscars.
Watching in real time wasn't my thing. I always watch him on YouTube. It's all good. But I guess you probably felt the energy of him coming on and being live and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we missed, apparently, the ovation that was, it hurt your ears. It was so loud before he began.
Oh, yeah. It did go on and on and on and on. Yeah.
Well, Sinclair and Nexstar, the stations that refused to air him in big markets like Washington, D.C. and Seattle, for just a few, they forced people to go to YouTube. And that's television telling people to go watch it somewhere else. It's a ridiculous business model.
It is. And can I share with you a reaction I had to watching Kimmel?
Sure. Yes.
I haven't seen anybody else talk about this. I knew he would tear up. He's such an emotional guy. You know he's going to get emotional about this stuff. And he had to. It's just the way he is. He's a big softie. And that's one of the things we love about him. What did you think?
Oh, no. I want to get to your opinion first.
Okay. It occurred to me that even though this horrible thing happened and free speech is under fire and all of this kind of stuff, that maybe this is a moment for a reset. Because when he talked about the assassination of Charlie Kirk and he got all teared up about a young man dying, a young man with whom we agree, we do not agree with on anything, but he was very young, had young kids. And when he did his original monologue, I had watched it and I thought there was none of that.
No.
So this is kind of an opportunity for a reset. We're getting so jaded, I think, toward things like somebody being murdered in the middle of a sentence and an ICE attack where a bunch of people were killed and a school shooting. And it's not that we don't care, but I think guys like Kimmel, and I know what it's like in a newsroom, and you do too, when it comes at you day after day after day after day, you can only get smacked in the face so many times before you go numb. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was numb. I don't think so. But I do think it gave him a chance to stop and say, wait a minute. This is who I really am. It sickened me. I put that out on social media, but I didn't say that here. And it gave him that second chance. I don't know. I just found that I felt that there was a new feeling of humanity around it. We've got to find a way to find common ground.
He said that, yes.
Exactly. So I kind of felt that maybe it's not such a bad thing that this happened.
To Kimmel.
To Kimmel, yeah. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, it feels like everything's going to hell in a handbasket some days, but I do think that it was a really good chance for him to do a reset and that he did a beautiful job.
I think he did, too. It was pitch perfect. There were people on my Facebook page because I thought, well, let's make a little live event out of this like we used to on Twitter/X before I dumped that entirely. Have a little community viewing group. And people were saying they were standing and cheering in their living room. They were in tears along with him, that the jokes were just perfect and that he didn't hold back against the FCC chair, Brendan Carr. And he went at Trump with the usual but extraordinarily good jokes and having Robert De Niro on as the FCC chair. It was just, you know what I wish though, Lisa? I wish Matt Damon had come out as the host of the show.
Oh, that would have been funny. That would have been very funny with their fake feud.
Yes. And at the end, of course, he mentioned, sorry, Matt Damon, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, I think. It was just pitch perfect.
And I loved when he said this show isn't important, but free speech is.
Yes.
And that's true. It doesn't matter what someone is saying to a point, but they have a right to say it. He can be called a mouthpiece for the Democratic Party or whatever else, but that's only if you're a toddler and you don't understand how the world works. This is what I want to ask people who think the other way. Do you really want to see John Voight live or Rob Schneider live?
Yeah.
And if you do, well, then freaking put them on somewhere, but not everywhere.
I noticed while watching ABC on their feed, they have a promo for a new Tim Allen sitcom. And the right loves to say that all the right-wing comics or actors are canceled. They're not. ABC keeps giving Tim Allen, or Fox does, whatever platform, keeps giving him attempts to try and capture that lightning in a bottle that was Home Improvement. Mm. And they love to say Roseanne Barr was canceled. Well, she wasn't canceled. Wanda Sykes, who was the producer of Barr's show, she pulled the plug on it because she disagreed with Barr's rampant racism in tweets. So they love to rewrite history. People still are moaning about Don Cherry being canceled by the CBC. He wasn't. It was Sportsnet. But, you know, don't let the facts get in the way.
And this is a scary thing, too. There's a viral post going around that shows Tylenol taking a shot at the American administration, and it's fake.
Mm.
Tylenol put out a very sensible, science-based, fact-based statement and didn't take shots at anybody. It was just reasonable. But this fake one's going around. And of course, people are excited saying, oh, yeah, you know, let them have it. Well, they're not letting anybody have it. And mm-hmm. this whole time of AI and everything else that's going on, I don't know what to believe sometimes. Even, you know, you can see people on video and you really got to watch their mouths and see if they're working properly, because a lot of times it's been manipulated through AI. It's scary times.
Yeah. Is this even real? And we saw that last week with Robert Redford's death. There weren't many hoaxes that went around with it, but one of them was allegedly Robert Redford's father holding baby Robert in his hand. And that man was gorgeous. Well, there's a reason, because it was Robert Redford holding his toddler, you know, but we were all told that it was Redford's father and we wanted to believe that. I think that somehow they prey upon what we want to believe. And then that question, that healthy skepticism we all have, gets thrown out the window because it serves what it is we want to believe.
That is exactly it. You nailed it right there. It goes to whatever bias any of us have.
Right.
So it doesn't even get questioned. But, you know, you and I mean, being journalists or having journalism background, we question everything.
I know. And I hate that I have to question everything.
But we do. We do.
I saw this 2-year-old swinging a driver and absolutely nailing the golf ball. And I showed it to Rob and he said, is that real? And I went, I know, I don't know. and you must have seen the videos of the wildlife going into a backyard and bouncing around on a trampoline.
Yes.
The bunnies, the deer. None of it's real. None of it's real. That's using AI for good, though, because that made me happy. I mean, who doesn't want to see a bunch of bunnies on a trampoline?
Right. There should be an AI social media where they can just go insane and everything is AI and keep it off of where the rest of us play. But anyway,
exactly.
We can visit when we want.
I did a little informal poll on my Threads account, Erin Dawn Davis, and you can find Gracefully and Frankly on Threads too. And I asked, okay, now that Kimmel's coming back, would you go back to Disney? Or, you know, resubscribe to Hulu, Disney, plan your park visit, Europe or whatever. And 76% said, no, they're not going back.
Hmm.
Which I thought was interesting, not scientific, just, you know, my folks.
And then the next morning, 24% said they won't either because they hiked their prices immediately.
Yes.
Who's the wizard that came up with that?
It must have been Mickey when he took over the castle. I don't know. But do petitions work? This is something that you brought to my attention a little while ago. Somebody was talking about petitions. Now, if you're like me, you've probably signed your fair share.
Yeah.
The ones from members of parliament, I will sign because those ones actually seem legit. But if there's one that says, you know, get rid of this or anything out there you can get a petition for, we're finding out they're not legit. They don't work.
No. And they can actually do harm, too, because the worst part is when you sign one of those petitions, you walk away thinking I've done something. And if you really haven't and you don't do anything else, then you've done nothing.
Mm.
And it may be something you really care about and something that's worth doing something about. But a phone call or a letter to your MPP or MP's office or MLA or wherever it is you live is so much more effective. I've written letters to prime ministers over the years, and I always get a letter back, and it's never from the prime minister. It's always from their desk or whatever.
Do you remember what it was about?
Oh, I wrote to Justin Trudeau to tell him how disappointed I was that he wasn't keeping his promise about reconciliation, that he just seemed to forget about it, and how it was one of the platforms that made me want to vote for him. And it just fizzled away. He just sort of threw up his hands and went, this is going to be too difficult. That's how it felt anyway. So that was the last one I wrote. But I think I've written, I don't know, several times. And then you get something from an assistant or whatever that we promise this will be brought to the prime minister's attention or whatever. And it's kind of like, I think about the movie Love Actually, when Hugh Grant was playing the prime minister and he gets a binder and here's just a range of Christmas cards you got. And I think of it like that. Here's a range of letters you got. Oh, this woman from Port Stanley's ticked off because you're not working on reconciliation or whatever, you know.
That doesn't mean don't sign the petition that's legit. I mean, Jan Arden puts them up to try and get the shipping of horses to Japan to be eaten. She tries to stop it that way. She's using her voice for good. So just choose them because, you know, a lot of people said, well, let's sign a petition to get Jimmy back. No, they're not paying attention to what you say. It's your money that matters. And it's kind of like what happened to me at CHFI 20 years ago. It wasn't people writing to Julie Adam. It wasn't people calling the radio station. It was none of that that made a difference. It only made a difference when the bottom dropped out in terms of sales. That's the only thing that matters these days.
So advertisers stopped buying airtime, and people said they're going to start boycotting people who buy airtime. That's going to make a big difference. In fact, boycotts, I think, are more effective than petitions. It's just really hard to rope people together and say, let's stop doing this, especially if it's something we all really like.
Disney, that's the perfect example.
Disney, Amazon. So there you go. I mean, how many billions did it say that was worth?
Between 4 and 7, and that may be people putting in the exchange rate, I'm not sure, but anything that starts with a B gets their attention, and it's not bitch, it's billions. I was watching TV on Sunday here at our local station, and it's such a feel-good segment. Tess Van Stratton, who does the weather during the week, does this pet check, and they have animals that are up for adoption and stuff. Oh, Lisa, I should just send you a best of reel.
You would
have every pet. This beautiful 4-month-old puppy, he's like a golden retriever husky mix, and all I'm thinking of is that's a lot of vacuuming. But this dog has special needs because he gets growing pains so bad that he's immobile. He can't even walk. So he's on anti-inflammatories and he's on all these things. And all I could think of was, oh my God, Sierra Sill leaps and bounds. If they would give this dog this all-natural, these chews that the dogs just love, not only for elderly dogs like we had who couldn't even jump up on the bed and then could, but for younger dogs like this, and if you have an animal who's aging and you're noticing is not as mobile as he or she used to be, check it out. They really do work, and dogs can't lie about their mobility. It really does work.
Oh, I wish I had it for my Leroy so many years ago. Check it out at sierrasill.com. Sierra like the mountains, SIL.com. And the code GF will get you 14% off your purchase.
You and I both have our comfort things. We both travel with our Envy pillows.
Always.
And I had blankies when I was a kid. I had two of them. And I think I've told you in both cases, my grandmother burned them in a big oil barrel out in the driveway. Thus began my therapy journey. But they are soothers. They are things that comfort us. Sometimes knowing that your pillow is your pillow when you travel creates a whole bunch of comfort. And we'll tell you a bit more about the Envy pillow in a minute. But now, I don't know if you knew this, but you know Build-A-Bear? You know those little stores in the malls and stuff?
I've built a bear, sure.
Well, shares of Build-A-Bear in the last 5 years, Lisa, have jumped 2,000%. 1,000%.
Why? Are we having a baby boom or something? What's the deal?
No, it's soothing our inner child. And this is huge, but also actual soothers are now a thing. Adult soothers have become huge. Pacifiers are becoming a growing viral trend among adults. And I can hear you rolling your eyes because I did too. But you know what? I get it.
You do?
I kind of do. And maybe it's because I found it so hard to quit vaping. And what is vaping? That little thing you stick in your mouth that brings you comfort.
Right.
Vaping, cigarettes, Freud, of course, the cigar, all of that. And it's just people going back to needing some kind of comfort.
Maybe I should get one because I tend to put more food than I need in my pie hole. So if I had a soother in the way, it wouldn't be possible. Seriously, though, my first thought is when babies have a soother in their mouth, not always, but at first they don't have teeth, so they're not going to bend their teeth or anything.
Right.
I guess when you're older, you're not going to really wreck your teeth, but it just seems, it reminds me of this TV show, Little Britain, a character who was in the British government, and he'd come home and he kept saying to his mother, Bitty, Bitty, and what he wanted was to suck on her breast. And
jeez.
The idea was that he was a big boy in the government, but he was still a little boy at home who needed his mommy. And it's kind of creeping me out a little bit.
Well, your initial thought about it messing with you orally is accurate. A doctor says that prolonged use can disrupt your sleep and lead to oral problems, including straining your jaw, teeth misalignment, and infections. So it's not all good. And of course, what you do in the privacy of your bedroom or your living room or whatever is completely up to you. But it's actually a thing.
It's better than drinking out of control. It's better than eating out of control, probably. It's better than a lot of things. So I guess, you know, live and let live, right? But it is a little bit odd. Do they make them in adult sizes, I wonder?
Yes, 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 they do. You don't just randomly steal one from the kid in the lineup at Costco. Yoink!
Because I could do that, you know. The kid's asleep. I'd just take the thing, yeah.
Well, that's what the clips are for, Lisa. We thought it's so the kids don't lose them. It's really just so that randos don't steal your soother. Who knew?
Keep your hands off that Envy pillow, though. Don't you dare touch that, randos.
Absolutely. And do you know how dumb I am? Well, let's just take a moment while people can fill in the blanks. But I saw one of their videos, and they show the Envy pillow in its beautiful silk carrying case, all rolled up tiny, almost like a lumbar pillow, with these straps that are on it. And I thought, oh, why don't I have one of those? Well, I do. The straps are right on the case, Lisa, and I've never known what they were for.
Yeah.
How dumb am I?
I hadn't either, and I have the same thing. I moved it the other day, and I went, oh, wow, I have one of these too.
Oh, it's just another way to love your Envy pillow. And yeah, we know Christmas is 3 months away, and maybe there are going to be people who say in your life, you're so hard to buy for. Well, you're not. Just have them go to Envy, ENVYpillow.com. Use the code GF for 10% off and see all the stuff that they've got there. It's wonderful. And they just gave us another reason to love them. Isn't that nice? Here's a woman who takes her Envy pillow, too, wherever she goes, because Mally is just wonderful. You've heard us mention her before because she makes cards. We've talked about that. And she's just terrific. And this week, Lisa, she left us a voicemail, and we thought we'd share it.
Sure, at gracefullyandfrankly.com. It's easy to do. Let's hear what Mally has to say.
Hello to my favorite queenagers. The Airbnb versus hotel is a great thought to ponder. I love to have the option of both, actually. When we decide to stay somewhere for more than a couple of days, like a beach or a ski holiday, we search for an Airbnb or Vrbo. We found some incredible homes to enjoy where the hosts have gone above and beyond to make our stay exceptional. For trips where we move around a lot, we prefer smaller independent hotels, which have a local flair in the central part of town, where we have lots to explore. Either way, we are really grateful to be able to travel and explore and see this wonderful world. I'm off now to look for some more fun places for our next trip. A year at this time? Take care.
Well, we'll wait and see just what you choose. Mally, always an adventure with her. Yeah, she had no problem leaving a message for us. It's just you go to gracefullyandfrankly.com. There's a little microphone icon down in the bottom right. Just looks like a little microphone or a capsule or a pill. And you press on it and you do your recording. So thank you for that very much, Mally. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you.
You're going for a little adventure for your birthday.
We are, as a matter of fact, not too far away. I think I told you in selling our house, which still hasn't gone through yet, still fingers crossed, I've been yearning for a little cabin in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You would be amazed how few there are and how expensive they are here on Vancouver Island, because I guess I'm not alone. But we found a little cabin just to rent for under $200 a night. And yeah, it is through VRBO. So I'll let you know the experience. It's on Gabriola Island. And most people haven't heard of this.
Well, my late brother-in-law used to live there. So I was out there and it's a beautiful island. I think you'll love it.
Good. It's just a little tiny place, queen-size bed, which I heard Matthew McConaughey on The View the other day. He said that a queen-size bed is good for your marriage.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're going to go to Gabriola. I'm sure I'll have some stories next week, but have you ever booked a place that didn't have any reviews? Because this place doesn't have one review.
No, I never have. Good luck.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. I mean, maybe nobody lived to write a review. We'll find out. It's got a wood stove, and we're even taking our own wood so that we don't, you know, sort of infringe on the host's hospitality. But it should be great.
Well, good stuff. And I hope you're taking your coffee maker with you.
Well, of course I am. You can buy a coffee on the island. But guess who bought us a coffee?
Thank you, Dana. Yes. It's become a thing to buy us five coffees at a time, and that's just absolutely wonderful. There's a little yellow coffee icon at the bottom left of the page at gracefullyandfrankly.com. The microphone's on the right, the coffee's on the left, and you just click on that if you want to contribute. Totally voluntary. It's just a way to support the podcast and say thank you, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, since we're saving all our money on Disney subscriptions and stuff, buy us a coffee. Why not? And we are getting close to having airfare to get together, too. It's pretty cool. So thanks for that. You've been busy with science this week, and not only, of course, knowing that Tylenol is safe, but talk to your doctor. That is just so bizarre. But anyway, you have something for this week's edition of
Twits. This week in Totally Stupid. Well, we know science is under fire right now, and not the time to be making light of it, although this stuff is pretty funny. But maybe the Ig Nobel Prizes could take a break for a little while until we get everybody believing in science again and not some guy in his mother's basement. Anyway, so they hand out these prizes every year, and they did it in Boston last Friday. It's to honor the strangest discoveries or attempted discoveries in science.
Okay.
You've heard of these before, right?
Oh, yeah. The Ig Nobel, called Ig Nobel because of the play on words with Nobel. Right.
Right. Exactly.
I haven't heard this year's, though. These are all new to me.
Here are some of the prize winners. There are a whole bunch. By the way, they have 24 seconds to make a speech, yeah, or a guy walks out into the stage and says, I'm bored. Anyway, so it's just a goofy, goofy thing. So some of the winners include a team of researchers from Japan wondered if painting cows with zebra stripes would prevent flies from biting them. This was a scientific thing, by the way it worked.
It did. Wow.
It did.
Okay.
A team of international scientists looked at whether giving alcohol to bats would impair their ability to fly. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I've sat next to a few people up in business class, and they were doing okay. Well, of course it did.
Yes, they gave them fermented fruit and then watched them just fly around like lunatics.
Uh-huh.
A group from India studied whether foul-smelling shoes influence someone's experience using a shoe rack.
What?
And it just gets worse from there. And these are legitimate, educated scientists who mm-hmm. decide to do these things, and they really want to get one of these prizes. So, good times.
Well, I remember a John Oliver piece from Last Week Tonight a few weeks ago where he talked about everybody making so much fun about a shrimp on a treadmill and how much money was being spent on this. But then he explained what this actually did. And it had to do with oxygen intake and all kinds of really important implications for this. So you never know. Maybe painting ourselves in stripes will keep bugs away from us, too.
Yeah, the shrimp thing I get, but I think these are just larks. I really do.
Exactly. Scientists are fun, too, even when they're so completely under fire these days. We've got you, science.
They're throwing off their pocket protectors and go crazy.
Amen to that. Well, this was an episode that was an awful lot of fun because I was just so excited coming into the studio this morning because I guess, Lisa, I'm really relieved. We were so reluctant last week when we heard about Kimmel's being fired or suspended to even go there because it was just, it's so mucky and people are, you know, their knives out. And yet it's all ended supposedly well, and people actually were heard.
You know, and it's politics, which isn't something we normally delve into, but it's also graying the line between politics and entertainment and freedom and all of these things. Well, you know what we say around here, Aaron, that makes no sense and we know we're using it wrong. When there's something we just can't define, Derek and I say, well, it's a pig in a poke. It's just a pig in a poke. And then we just walk away and we know the topic is over. So there you go. Happy birthday, by the way, tomorrow.
Am I the pig or the poke? Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Well,
thank you again for going first. Appreciate that.
No problem. And last year it was our Bedian birthdays because of a firefighter and said he was just glad to have lived as many years as the year he was born. And then tragically, he died. But it's also known if you turn 62, for example, and were born in 62, then it's your platinum birthday. I don't know what this year is going to be for me. It's not platinum. I don't know. Mold?
I don't know. I'm so confused by what birthday it is. We're turning 63, right?
Yes, but I can't believe that either because I'm still 42.
Well, let you eat cake. And we'll look forward to your adventure next week, finding out how it all went.
Yes. Maybe I'll be the first to survive and write a review. Who knows? Talk to you then.
Have a good time.
Thanks, honey.